Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with
this is the Influencers Network podcast. I'm your host, Brian Craig. I'm the executive director for Influencers Global Ministries here in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I'm back with Rocky Fleming, our founder. Welcome, Rocky.
Thanks, Brian.
And we find ourselves a week out from our global summit where we're going to be hosting 250 plus guys coming in from all over the world for our first summit. So there's a lot of anticipation and all that, a lot of details going on right now, but we're really excited about it. Be praying for us. If you're not coming to the summit, one thing you can do for sure is pray for that gathering that is just going to be exactly what God wants it to be. So, but it's Holy Week. It's the time when Christians everywhere are going to collectively worship our Lord Jesus and recognize His sacrifice and celebrate His resurrection. And so we, you and I always like to do a podcast in honor of that. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. So Rocky, what's on your heart this Easter week? I know that in times past, you always talk about how you like to get into the drama of it in your, in the scriptures and in your imagination, just trying to put yourself in the scene, in the drama and all that. So where are you at this week?
Oh, well, as it generally is, when I get into this week, I get a little sad.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is I'm preparing my my talk for the summit, and the name of the talk is Watch With Me. And, of course, the words Watch With Me is what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane.
That's right.
To His disciples, asking them to watch with Him because He was in agony.
Yeah.
And I think that He was showing His humanity at that time. And, of course, we have to remember now, Jesus was in the form of a human. Mm-hmm. At this particular time, and he had to carry that burden as a human, and he laid down his crown to take on that role as a bondservant. But he was born to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he was born, he had a death sentence, and it was going to be this crucifixion that would be happening. So, around 33 years later, give or take,
right.
The Lamb of God, the promise that was established in Genesis, that there would be a Redeemer.
Yeah.
And so now this was that time, the long-awaited time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are waiting for His return like they were waiting for His coming, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so He arrived. But not a lot of fanfare as a baby in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. His life was, you know, pretty obscure for about 30 years. Mm-hmm. But then when he came on the scene, it was such magnificence that, well, it reshaped the world.
Yeah.
But all of his teachings and all of those things would be for naught if it were not for that empty tomb.
Yeah.
Because conquering that grave and paying the price for our sins on that cross is what we celebrate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, I'm kind of in the week before, and I'm thinking about the things that happened, like Palm Sunday, which is a great celebration, and then He cleansed the temple on Monday, and then He cursed the fig tree on Tuesday, and then He had a day of rest on Wednesday, but that's probably when Judas cut his deal, and on Thursday, you know, is when they had their the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the night, late in Thursday night or maybe early Friday morning, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony.
Yeah.
In agony. And so I guess the question is, well, what was the agony about? Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about that. And you know, I know He knew He was going to be crucified. I know He knew everything's going to happen. I mean, the prophecies talked about, I mean, about His bones showing, about His beard being taken out. I mean, about being flogged. I mean, mm-hmm. everything. It was just, He knew them. He knew the prophecies on it.
That's right.
Knew what's going to happen. And we tend toward thinking that maybe that was his agony, but I think it was more than that. I think there was a physical agony that he was dreading, but I think there was a spiritual agony. Because he's going to be carrying the weight of all the sins that have ever entered this world, past, present, and future. He's taking it on him. And I think that the agony he had on that Garden of Gethsemane is quite frankly, will I stay strong?
Yeah.
I think Satan was using that last temptation as his biggest one to try to heap on him.
Yeah.
To try to break Jesus. And like most people who are afraid that they might break, they're looking for friends, family. And we'll say something like, would you come and watch with me? Mm. And that's why he was asking his friends to watch with him. But unfortunately, they didn't.
Yeah.
He had to carry it alone, but he carried it. He had to drink a cup, and that cup was full of all the sins that were ever going to be made. And he drank it all the way to the dregs. Mm-hmm. All the way to the bottom. So, yeah, I'm in that part until Friday, and then Sundays are coming. That's when I began to really get excited about the resurrection, trying to imagine what it was like for those disciples, Mary, the women, you know, seeing him, just that whole thing about, gosh, can't imagine it, how wonderful it would have been for them, having gone through the agony of deserting him, the agony of losing him, the agony of shame, but then the joy of seeing him again. Can you imagine that?
Well, and I think he invites us into that, right? I think it's like, he said, believe me, come join me, you know, and I think that he's inviting us to join him through the whole thing. You know, I mean, I think he says, you know, that, you know, if we believe in him, we'll have everlasting life. But on this earth, I think he's trying to conform us to his likeness so we can learn something. You know, that's in Hebrews, it says we don't have a high priest. We don't have one who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. Yeah. We have one who's been tempted every way as we are.
That's right.
Yet was without sin. And that's what you're talking about. He was tempted in the desert. He was in every way.
Every way.
And then tempted again here the last time to not even go to the cross, to right. throw that away.
Right.
And he overcame it.
Yeah. And, you know, he could have, if he had walked away at that moment, he was having to fight that like as a man would in human form.
Right.
And he couldn't appeal to the divinity and his position with God. He said, if you would, Lord, take it away. But if not, I'll do it. Hmm. And so, you know, it was so hard for him. And one of the things that I guess concerns me about Christians is if we get to the point where we take it for granted.
Yeah.
Then we don't consider it. Now, I think the Catholics do a real, real good job of recognizing the cross, right? Because that crucifix has the body of Christ on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Protestants do a real good job about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body's not on our crosses.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them are pertinent. We need to recognize both.
Mm-hmm.
The crucifixion, the agony, and the resurrection, and the ecstasy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the part you were talking about, I'm in Matthew, there's all the accounts have the Garden of Gethsemane in it, I think. But in Matthew, he says, it was interesting to me, you had Peter, James, and John with him. And these are the three that you find with him on different occasions throughout that. He always pulled them aside. I always like to think he had the 12, but he was mentoring more deeply, Peter, James, and John, perhaps. And they're there with him. And of course, they can't even stay awake. They can't watch when they fall asleep, and they don't understand what's going on, obviously. But he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first request was, will you watch with me? And the next one is, watch for yourself now.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm trying to think, he even to the very end, he's teaching his mentees something. He's teaching us something that we get to understand and read in Scripture now. You know, he's trying to show us, because we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tested, and some more severe than others, but we, and how do we handle it? And he's always our model.
And, you know, Brian, a lot of times there's a, we learn in retrospect. We don't necessarily learn it at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think Peter, James, and John learned at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I think in retrospect, as they look back to that night and what he was asking and what he was trying to teach them, they didn't get it then. It went over their head. They were sleepy, right? Mm. But later on, they, and especially when the Holy Spirit started kind of pulling the things together and connecting the dots, they would understand what he was going through. They would understand why he needed them, and they would understand why they needed each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I like what you're saying, though, that, that Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
Because I think I've been reading some stuff about the dark night of the soul and about the wall that a lot of people, Christians, hit. You know, they start growing in their faith, and then they come up against something really difficult. And it's all purposeful because God's trying to crucify the old man in them, you know, spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking. And but once they get through there, there's a joy. There's a resurrection of a new kind of person, you know, the born again person.
Yeah.
The believer that's not so concerned about themselves, but walking in the power of the Spirit, I think.
Well, the new man in Christ is what happens, is that we become a different person, or we should. And that's the work of the Spirit, the sanctification process, is to develop us inside out so that our soul and spirit are one with Him. And then that's when conformity begins to come about.
And don't you think that that's the kind of, that's what he's looking for? He wants us to be those kind of people that, that don't have to fear death anymore, because we're already dead in a sense. You know, we're walking. You know, we're spiritually speaking, we're alive forever. I mean, we have eternal life, and we'll have a physical death someday. But he doesn't want us to fear death, I don't think. And he conquered death.
Yeah, and again, it's there are a lot of fears that we have, and it's kind of like my sister. She's dead now, but she was. Troubled woman, actually, fearful. And I asked her, I said, do you fear death? She said, no, I don't fear death. I just fear how I die. And that was the thing that she was concerned about. Mm-hmm. Will I die alone? Will I die in pain? Will I die? You know, it has to do with the transition is inevitable, right? For a Christian, we're going to go there. But I think the struggle we have is I don't want to go at a certain time, or I don't want to go in a certain way, or I don't want to have these things happen to me before. But, you know, those are some things we just can't do anything about. Mm. And it's a burden that God doesn't want us to carry. He wants us to trust Him. There will be a resurrection for the believer. This life will be a speck compared to the one we will have, although it seems like it's the only thing we have. Mm. The only life we have. And I think when Christians began to think that way, they're missing out on some big peace that they could have.
Yeah.
This is a temporary body and a temporary life here. Mm-hmm. But it's greatly purposeful. It's very purposeful for the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Well, I heard an older woman one time, she was kind of toward the end of her life, and she goes, I just don't know when I die out of all the billions of people that have ever lived, how's he going to know me? How's he going to know me personally? You know, how's he going to find me out of all those people or something like that? You know, and I'm just thinking, he's such a personal. She didn't understand the intimacy. You know, she didn't understand how personal he is with every person who's a, who who receives him.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't in the day of iPhones because they could trace you wherever you are, right? I mean, yeah. You could be talking, all of a sudden you say it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're being tracked.
Yeah.
Look, that's puny efforts, right?
Yeah.
God, Almighty God, Creator. So here's the deal. We do have a connection with him, though. We have a radio beam, so to speak.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is communing with him, communicating for us, praying for us even.
Yeah.
And so he won't have any problem keeping up with us.
Yeah, yeah. And I love it how the Holy Spirit's called a deposit, mm-hmm. guaranteeing what's to come. You
right.
know, kind of like a foretaste, you know. And,
right.
And we don't. And it just gives us comfort, gives us assurance that we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear what's ahead. Everything he said is true, and he's coming back to get us.
Yeah, and you know the thing about it is right after the crucifixion, I guess it was about 40 days after is when he ascended. But he told the disciples, you know, it's good that I leave.
Yeah.
So that the Spirit can come.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, he's saying it's good that I leave for now.
Yeah.
And you know, it's there's so many symbolic things I've been picking up about Easter. One was the folded napkin.
Yeah.
You heard about that?
I have, yeah.
And what did it signify?
That it wasn't done yet.
It wasn't done yet.
That's right.
I mean, it's kind of like the master. If he wads up his napkin, throws it on the table, that means, okay, you can clean the dishes now. I'm done.
Uh-huh.
But if he folds it and puts it there and walks away, he says, I'm coming back. Don't take the dishes yet.
And his garments were all folded. And, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
The message is, I'm coming back.
That's right.
And so, you know, there's so many symbolic traditions within the Jewish culture.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know, layers that we don't know. And we're being taught. But the key things that we do know is that we are his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming back. But between now and then, the Spirit is already deposited in us. And our eternal destiny and journey has already begun.
Mm.
Our eternal life has already begun in these mortal bodies.
That's right.
Now, that's exciting to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, just I want to say this real quick. For years, I never knew that part that you just said about that it was 40 days after he resurrected and appeared to,
uh-huh.
that it was 40 days that he was making appearances
and
to lots of people,
right.
Not just the 12, but lots of people.
Right.
So that there would be eyewitness accounts of his resurrection. And then he left and gave him the great commission that we love, you know, do what I've been doing, go make disciples. And,
yeah.
And surely I'll be with you to the end of the age. There's the Holy Spirit promise
know,
that he was going to come and help us. But I think in the context of influencers, which we spend all our time, most of our time helping people learn what John 15 is all about. Come abide with me. Come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected, don't you think? It's all connected into this resurrection story, into the it's all there.
I mean, it's the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's our life in him and him in us.
Yeah.
And well, here's what Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. You see, Paul identified himself as crucified with Christ. I think that we need to be identified with the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
That is what it's all about. We do have both of those.
And I think we're saying, come get to know this Jesus who died for you. Come, mm-hmm. come get to, you know, this Jesus who you claim to follow. You say you're a Christian, so you claim Christ as your Savior. But a lot of people claim him as Savior, but they don't know him. And we're saying he wants to be known. And even the good, the bad, the ugly, the dark moments, the hard moments, like in the garden, or mm-hmm. and he wants to help us learn from that, so we can walk this life while we're still here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing.
Well, Paul talked about it. He says, we suffer these things so that we know how to comfort those who are afflicted. Mm-hmm. Well, guess where he's getting that from? Jesus suffered those things so that he knows how to come to those of us who are afflicted.
That's right.
I mean, he is a reflection of Christ as well. We should be a reflection of Christ.
Yeah.
The life that we've been given, it's purposeful and significant. And when we are able to have our part, our life in line with a biblical, eternal perspective, then a lot of the things in this world cease to matter.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. What matters is my walk with the Lord. If that's sound, then I believe everything else is going to fall in place.
You know, I think until you're really embracing your faith, Easter is just kind of a holiday that's gets lost on people, I think, a little bit. Do you think?
Well, where did Easter eggs come from? colored Easter eggs and go hunting them and, you know, the rabbit. I mean, when did we start doing that? What is that all about?
Yeah.
I guess it has some kind of religious meaning at some time, some point. I don't know. But I do know, just like Christmas and toys and all of that and Santa Claus, it got in the way. A lot of us in our thinking about Christmas, mm-hmm. we lost the meaning. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same way with Easter. I mean, there was about, my bonnet, mm-hmm. Easter bonnet and the Easter dress and a new Easter suit and Easter clothes and dressing up and going to church. I mean, there were just cultural traditions that tended toward taking our eyes and hearts off of the real deal.
Yeah. I grew up that way. We always got a new suit for Easter, and we'd mm-hmm. always go to church. You mm-hmm. know, but there were Easter baskets before we went to church. You know, and that was, we celebrated a little bit of that.
Did you have an Easter egg hunt?
Yeah, that was done at different times. So yeah, and then always a big Easter meal. You know, always having a ham and all the stuff. You know, which was always a big thing.
Oh yeah,
still is.
Yeah.
You know what I thought? One thing, I don't know if you probably remember this. They used to back when television was only like three channels, but they always showed
on a good day
on Sunday night of Easter, on Easter night, they always broadcast the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that.
Every Easter night, and it was kind of a tradition in my family. We'd watch that, and I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, that I guess it was the most famous religious movie. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Had nothing to do with Easter, though, did it?
I mean, there's definitely correlations if you want to think about
it. Well, it always is.
About about what happened with God's children and now of him setting them free. And Jesus set us free. You know, Moses set the people free.
You know, there was a mini series that came out in the 70s, which I absolutely love. It's called Jesus of Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably the most profound series on Jesus that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the drama in it, the acting in it was amazing. Of course, Chosen is wonderful too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
they're leading up, they're getting us warmed up.
For the
cross and all that story.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's in this season or what, the next season.
But our former president of Influencers, Bob Brown, has a sister, Linda, and she's been in the movies, the Chosen movie.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, she was talking about they're getting ready to go to the next one here pretty soon.
So. Yeah, they're about to come out the next season. Mm-hmm. So that's been really good. But it's good to just anything just to help us see things the way they would have been, way they're presented in Scripture.
Well, that's why we're doing the movie.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
If we put our little gig in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's visual. I mean, there's several ways you learn. There's several ways you're emotionally impacted. There's several ways your faith is impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, if we don't get in touch with our emotions, with our faith, we're missing something.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
We have a love relationship with Christ. He loves us. I mean, John 3:16, about loving the world so much he gave his only begotten son. I mean, how relevant is that on Easter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I still think there's millions of people out there looking for the answers.
Well, they're longing for it and don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
In emptiness.
And, you know, I think it's been proven that a lot of people will go to church on Christmas or Easter
who
never go, just just because they kind of feel like a sense of responsibility, like I'm supposed to go to church or whatever. But they're seeking.
Or good luck.
Maybe good luck, yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever. But I think the Spirit's drawing himself, whatever. Drawing them to himself, yeah. I think. He's trying to draw them into himself.
Well, that would be a good prayer, wouldn't it, that those people that do not go to church, who attend churches on this Sunday, will have a new experience like they've never had before. That should be a prayer Christians across the land should be praying.
Yeah.
Especially churches. Churches across the land to welcome the visitors and pray that the Spirit will move so much, so mightily in their churches that those visitors find something that they want to come back to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think maybe we could bring it around to the Watch With Me, that for us influencers out there who know him and are getting to know him even better and worshiping him in a new way,
yeah,
that they'd have eyes to see what he's doing, in their family or what around them. I mean,
in fact, anybody who's listening, why don't you join us in prayer for all the churches that will be welcoming new people.
That's right.
New people coming to church maybe for the first time or they're one of their two times.
Mm-hmm.
Start praying that there'll be an amazing awakening.
Yeah.
In those churches that welcome those people.
And I love what you said about celebrating. Let's celebrate the empty tomb. Let's celebrate that his Spirit is alive and working among us and in us. And there's people out there who are probably feeling like they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're in the agony phase right now because they're struggling with a lot of things. But there's always hope. I mean, let's pray that Easter gives them hope.
Our little church that we go to was a Samaritan church. The name's been changed to Christ and Neighbor, but it's still a church that's for the kind of the neighborhoods of Rogers and the unchurched as well. And we had a great guest speaker this past Sunday, and he's on Palm Sunday. He was really good about talking about what it was like back then. And he kind of hit on the significant days that would be occurring, like Sunday and Monday and Thursday, you know, that type thing. But what impacted me is that when he got through, he asked the lights to be dimmed. He says, you know, this lead up to Friday is going to be a very somber time.
Mm.
And I would ask us, if we would, to dim the lights, to all walk out of the auditorium silently. Don't visit in the auditorium. Go outside church and visit. Let's close this down. But Sunday, when we come back, let's celebrate.
Mm.
And I love that. I thought that was just a wonderful sermon.
Kind of leave somber, but you're going to come back celebratory.
Reflective,
yeah. Just knowing that what he did.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the end here, but I want to just read this, and you and I were talking about this, but it's the end of the Last Supper, you know, and Judas had just left to go and do what he's going to do. And Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify in him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." But then he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you're also to love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I just think in the midst of all that, in the midst of the betrayal, in the midst of all that, he brings it down to the core thing.
Oh, yeah.
His love. And just go love other people. And I think that's our mantra, I think, is when you go through the journey, when you start abiding with Christ, the fruit of the Spirit starts coming, namely love.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to go express that love to those around you.
Well, the mantra of every ministry should be the mantra of Christ.
Yeah.
That we are a reflection of his mantra. We are a reflection of his values,
mm-hmm.
his perspective. And in this particular case, you're right, his love.
And his love was demonstrated on that cross.
Yeah.
The greatest love of all, for a sacrificial love for us.
But you know, one thing is I think significant here is that even though he knew what he was facing,
He was preparing them. He was thinking of them. He knew that they were going to be facing great difficulties, and they would need each other.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, they. Yeah, it didn't get easier after that for them. It got more difficult.
Yeah.
But then they had the Holy Spirit, like you said, to,
later on
to help them. Yeah, it came as promised. So,
I tell you what, though, between Friday and Sunday, they were in desperate shape.
Yeah,
hiding out, fearful, afraid the Roman soldiers were going to break in and kill them. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine how bewildered they were?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, hopefully we've helped our audience to get, enter into Easter and pause and take some time to think about it. Let it not be lost on them. So,
yeah.
In the midst of everything else. So, all right. Well, thank you, Rocky. Well, you've been listening to the Influencers Network podcast, and we put these podcasts out there to help encourage our people who are out there making disciples and abiding with Christ. But also, other people end up stumbling upon these podcasts who don't even know about our ministry. If you'd like to know more about us, go to influencers.org, and we would love to invite you on the journey, which is our 9-month discipleship process. So, again, keep praying for us for the summit next week and all the different things going on in the ministry, the movie development project, all the things going on. And you can find out more about that on our website as well. So, anyway, happy Easter to you all. I'm Brian Craig, Executive Director for Influencers Global Ministries, encouraging you to abide in Christ and go make disciples. God bless you.